Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. We are live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It's a beautiful day here in the South. I'm sure everybody's getting a little bit blast of maybe cooler air and a little bit of rain, so it's a great day. You know, a lot of people are getting up each day and they're saying, you know, I'm not having a great day. Doesn't matter what it's cold outside or cool outside or the leaves are changing. I'm just not having a good day. I'm having a lot of pain and suffering and I'm just not feeling well, or I'm just stuck in this mood and I just can't get out of it, and I'll be darned, but I'm going to stay in this mood too. I've been in it for decades and this is where I'm going to stay. And I know we know a lot of those people that are having those issues and really might like to change. And what we'll be speaking to today is to those people that, is there an option? Maybe I've never heard of that before. Oh, that sounds simple. Maybe it's not that simple. But is it something maybe I could try? Because I know a lot of people have been in all of those same positions, and you know what they've gotten? They've gotten a lot of tests, medical tests. They've gotten a lot of prescriptions. They've gotten a lot of negative looks from their people around them. And there's a whole lot of issues going on where they're working or they're not working or they're not successful or they're not happy, everything. So let's look at that today, all around the gamut. Today will be, as I always like to say, I'm always so random. We'll be going around the whole circle because you know what? Today we're going to be talking about EFT. It's emotional freedom techniques. And let me tell you, it can be used for everything all around the gamut. So you know what? Maybe we just need to be a little bit random and we'll come back to it at the end, you know? It is really, really a great thing to look into. My guest today is Dawson Church. He is a health writer and researcher, and he's going to be discussing the EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques. And it's a small manual, and it describes the entire process. What is it? Why do I want to know about it? What can it help me with? What can it not help me with? How to do it? Maybe do I want to try it? And is it that simple? All those answers are in this book. On the bottom of today's show page is the link to find out more information. It is www.eftuniverse.com. So, Dawson, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
It's great to be here, and thanks for the wonderful work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. It's, you know, don't you agree that we really, EFT, we're going to go around the whole gamut today because almost anybody or anyone can benefit?
Well, when I first heard about EFT, it was from a Gestalt therapist friend of mine, and he said he was using it successfully for things like sports performance, anxiety and depression, mental health issues, pain, PTSD, and a whole variety of other things. And I thought, I just don't believe that's possible. How can one technique be effective in so many widely disparate problems? But it turns out that all of them have one thing in common, and that one thing is stress. And there's a stress component to pain, stress component to anxiety and depression, to performance anxiety, to sports performance, to public speaking anxiety. All of these things have a component of stress in them, and that's what EFT is so brilliant at addressing. So that's why EFT works for most conditions. It works on the stress part of whatever's bothering you.
Absolutely. And you know, when people say, that sounds funky, I don't really know what it is, and I always say to them, you know what? If you sit down and you stub your toe and you say it hurts, and every time you look at that same corner, you say, ooh, my toe hurts, that's a conditioned response. You know, we're not all the Pavlov dogs. You know, we have to get over that concept. You know, we need to move on, and we aren't moving on. I think a lot of people aren't moving on. So next time you could say, oh, that corner, now I see it. I won't stub my toe. So it's, you know, doing things so that it's rearranging your thoughts and your responses in your body, which is, again, your stress response. So if you can change all of the things that are going on in your body, your thoughts, your ideas, your tapes, as we say, that play in your head, you won't get those same responses in your body, which would be, you know, heightened cortisol or endorphins or whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, or these pain symptoms, you know. So all we have to do is just look at it in that pattern, right?
We do, and those conditioned responses are actually really hard to break if you mm-hmm. have done psychotherapy, if you've taken a course in life coaching, if you've been on a personal growth course for maybe a lifetime. You will know that once you have an ingrained response, it's extremely difficult to break. And, for example, if your spouse says something and it drives you crazy and you always respond the same way, if your child has a habit that always triggers you emotionally, you'll know that you have these strongly conditioned responses. And even though your intention is to act differently, to be a better person, to be more compassionate, to act more rationally, when you're stressed, you don't. And that's because the way the brain is structured is that the hindbrain, which governs all of the body's automatic functions, respiration, digestion, immunity, and so on, all of those things happen on autopilot. And when you're stressed, the survival principle trumps everything else. When you're stressed, no matter how many courses you've taken, how many books you've read, how much other kind of education you've given yourself, when you're stressed, you'll tend to revert to those strongly conditioned responses. So say you read an inspiring book like the EFT Manual, or you read a book by Wayne Dyer, or go to a weekend workshop with Deepak Chopra. When you hit the ground Monday morning, you'll find mm-hmm. you tend to respond exactly the same way to the people and conditions around you because of those highly conditioned yeah. responses. So this has been really the central challenge of both philosophers and religious people for millennia, and also now for psychology, is how do you break those habits? And it's really difficult. It usually takes a long time. And before EFT, I was so disappointed myself. It took me a long time to make even small changes. Now I find I often can make really quick changes rapidly. But Chapter 7 of the EFT Manual, the book I just published, is called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. We talk about these core issues, these conditioned responses, and how you can use EFT to break that habit of always responding that same way to those people and problems that seem to perplex you. So is it hard to break those conditioned responses? Yes. Is it possible? Yes. And EFT is the most single potent self-help technique I've found so far to rapidly shift that kind of conditioned behavior.
And I think a lot of people say, well, what are my emotions and what are my thoughts and what is real and what isn't real? And I think we need to talk about that, because what really is an emotion that, you know, I need to look at? You know, sometimes people will say, oh my gosh, I just really hate that. And that will be the words out of their mouth. But really, do they hate that, or do they really have an actual fear of what that may bring? So what are you really working on? Do you know what I'm saying?
Emotions are interesting. And I asked myself a question a couple of years ago. I said, why on earth did we evolve emotions? It's obvious why we evolved respiration and reproduction and immunity and all the other systems in our body. And, of course, they're contained mm-hmm. in the hindbrain, your ancient reptile part of the brain. Then layered on top of that is your midbrain, your emotional brain. Reptiles don't have that, but mammals do. So why did we evolve emotion? Now, it's obvious why we evolved the neocortex, the most modern part of the brain, why primates evolved the neocortex, because the ability to, for example, think in abstract terms, to calculate, to figure out the seasons. Oh, winter's going to follow summer, so I better harvest and plant and store. So being able to have abstract thought, manipulate language, make music, all of these things are obviously tremendously useful as survival skills, as are our basic reptile brain functions. Why, though, did we develop this middle layer, the mammalian brain, the midbrain, the limbic system, which governs emotion? And the reason we did that is it gave us a survival advantage. The ability to feel fear, the two basic emotions, of course, are love and fear, and the ability to feel love and the ability to feel fear gives us a big evolutionary edge because, for example, if you're in a herd of gazelles, mm-hmm. having an affinity for other gazelles in your herd has you stick together. And you're much more likely to survive as a herd of gazelles than you are as a single gazelle being picked off by a predator. Same thing if you are a predator, if you're a wolf or a lion or a tiger, being able to hunt as a pack, being able to hunt as a group, So having an affinity for your group makes you a better hunter. So that ability to feel affinity and that ability to have that fear response and remember predator, get out of the way quickly, both of those things, both of those basic emotions give you a lot of evolutionary advantages. Now, of course, here we are as modern human beings. We aren't predators. We aren't prey anymore, but we still have all the brain circuitry of those primitive mammals. And what we use it for now, unfortunately, is worry and stress. So we're thinking about the bad thing that might happen but never does happen. We're worrying, we're having a memory about something that happened in the past that bothered us, and that's disturbing our inner peace. And we're having a fear of the future of something that might never happen, and that's also disrupting our survival functions. When you hook somebody up to a biofeedback machine and have them think a negative thought, you see an immediate shift in their automatic survival functions, their breathing, respiration, heart rate, blood glucose, and so on. And one of the clinical trials I did was of cortisol. We took three groups of people. We gave one group an hour of EFT. The second group got an hour of talk therapy. And the third group got an hour of rest. And in just a one-hour session, we found that the EFT group, their anxiety and depression dropped more than twice as much as the two control groups. And we also found that their cortisol decreased significantly in just 1 hour. So with EFT, you're improving all of these biological metrics. As your psychological issues, like anxiety and depression, go down, your biological functions that are there to deal with stress, like cortisol, like dopamine, like being in high sympathetic nervous system mode, all of those things regulate as well, and you become much calmer physically, and your biology really becomes much more peaceful and into a productive cell repair resting state. So psychology is physiology, and as you shift your psycho-spiritual state, your physiology responds as well. So we have these emotions, and if they keep on disturbing our peace, we keep on worrying, fretting, having anxiety, we're having really bad physiological effects on our bodies, driving our cortisol high. But if we do EFT, learn to self-regulate, then all of our internal biochemistry shifts as well, and we feel better, but also we have this very positive effect on our physiological states too.
You know, and I think we wouldn't have this conversation so long ago, like let's say in the 50s or 60s, because we really were not under that much of a stress then, or even we just didn't realize what effect it may have or how we could even change it. So I really think that science and techniques have really come a long way, where now it is pretty much commonplace to be able to have this conversation, don't you think?
Now we have the ability to look into the body and see what's going on. In the 60s and 70s, and even in the 80s, we didn't have the ability to look under the hood. We didn't have the ability to look and see what was going on in the body the way we have now. Now we can measure cortisol easily. We can measure our four primary brain waves, alpha, beta, theta, and delta. We can measure those very easily. We can hook someone up to an EKG or an EMG and see what's happening in their heart or their muscles. So what is now happening, which is really exciting, is that we're applying these high-tech tools, and we're looking now at these techniques like EFT, like mindfulness, like heart coherence, like biofeedback, and we're seeing that these don't just have trivial effects in the body. These have major effects in the body. Huge changes in cortisol, for example. Huge shifts in autonomic nervous system tone. So we're now, as we now have these abilities to measure the effects of these techniques in our bodies, it's opening up the ability to do a lot of new research, and it's showing that really these like miracle drugs in their ability to regulate our bodies. They're like miracle drugs in their ability to lower our cortisol, boost our serotonin, regulate our dopamine, regulate biochemicals, hormones like DHEA, our main cell repair hormone. So it is so powerful now that we're seeing what these do in the body, and it's giving I think it will give a huge boost to these kinds of techniques in medicine, in mainstream medicine, in the next decade.
Well, let's talk about EFT, exactly what it would be. People think, okay, you're going to mess with my mind. You know, am I going to put this cap on? I'm going to have wires all coming out of it. Oh, come on. Now, everybody does think about that, you know? Or how can, you know, and how can it be that easy? Because you know what? There's a lot of people that are in these places of pain and stress and structure, and they've been there for a long time. They're quite comfortable being there. They may not be wishing to find something that will let them out. So maybe those are people that, yes, we're going to try, but it may not be successful, but eventually over time, I think their resistance wears down and they're finally, it just by osmosis gets there. That's my thought. And, you know, because I do acupuncture myself, and I know, you know, when you're putting the needles in people, they're like, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. And you could do like, let's say you do 4 or 5 sessions. By the 5th session, they come in and you ask them the same questions again, what's bothering you today? And you notice it is not anywhere near what they started out with. You know, they just didn't realize that that barrier had been broken, and eventually it took that long. So I think that's the same way with this, you know. But you're not really doing something, you know, you're using the acupuncture points and stuff as a point of reference, but this is not needles, this is not wires out of your head, this is what you explain it commonly to people.
Yes, we do use the acupuncture points, and again, these are physiological points. I do a lot of live EFT workshops, and what I take along with me is a little device called the skin galvanometer, and it measures the electrical charge on your skin. And what I'll do is I'll run the galvanometer over somebody's body, and when we hit an acupuncture point, it'll emit a very, very loud tone. It's measuring the difference in electrical resistance on the surface of the skin. So these are actual, literal, real points. And with EFT, we don't use needles. Instead, we touch them, rub them, or tap them. And this tapping sets up minute electrical current going through the points, and that has a powerful calming and regulating effect on the stress response. So typically with an EFT session, we'll have somebody think about something that bothers them. And again, you're right, often it takes a big life crisis to get somebody into the consulting room and actually getting help. They may be comfortable at a fairly high level of discomfort, but often it'll be that crisis, that low point, that'll push them into getting help or showing up at one of our live workshops. And then that thing that bothered them is what they usually want to be fixed or healed. And with EFT, we focus you intently on the problem. So we have you think about whether it's a childhood bullying, whether it's a childhood emotional wound, whether it's abuse, whether it's a car crash, whether it's adult trauma, whether it's bad relationships. We have you focus with laser-like precision on that problem. We have you focus relentlessly on the issue, and that what that does is that stimulates the hindbrain, the reptile brain, to go into fight or flight. So when you think back to the car crash and think back to the blood and the screeching tires and the breaking glass and the sound of metal bending, so that sends a signal to your autonomic nervous system, that primitive reptile brain, to go into fight or flight. But when you then pair that with tapping on acupressure points, that sends a second signal to the autonomic nervous system saying there's no real threat. So once you calm yourself with the tapping while thinking about the bad thing, you've now got two signals going in, and the calming physiological somatic signal, the physical signal of the tapping, cancels out the mental signal of the memory of the car crash or whatever it might be. So you think about the bad thing and you also tap, and what that does is that has the effect of neutralizing the emotional response to that bad memory. And usually once you break the association even one time, it stays broken. One of the most remarkable videos on EFT Universe, my website, we have over 5,000 stories by people who've used EFT there. But we've also done a number of research projects in really extreme circumstances. For example, we've had research projects in Rwanda working with survivors of the genocide there 20 years ago. And even in those extreme cases, extreme prolonged trauma, we find huge therapeutic breakthroughs with EFT. But one of the videos on EFT Universe is of a volunteer team that went to Haiti 2 years after the 2010 earthquake there. So that was the earthquake in Haiti. It was really a very poor country. And the earthquake left about 200,000 children orphaned because their parents were killed in the earthquake. So all these orphans in Haiti, already desperately poor, then were struggling to cope with this flood of orphans. And in one of the videos, there's a little girl that they have on tape, and she's about 4 years old, and she hadn't spoken at all in the 2 years since the earthquake. And she was 2 years old at the time of the earthquake, and she was in a building when it struck with her mother. The building collapsed, her mother was killed, and she was trapped in the rubble with her mother's body for 2 days before they dug her out. So severely traumatized child, now she's four, and she hasn't spoken for 2 years. And there's this absolutely miraculous scene in the video where they start tapping with her, our wonderful volunteers start tapping with her, and she starts to talk again. And by the end of the video, she's running around playing the other children. So how can people get over trauma that quickly? It's absolutely remarkable what happens when you combine this amazing system from Oriental medicine of acupressure with cognitive shift, thinking about the bad thing, even if it's as bad as the death of a parent. Once you break that conditioned response between thinking about the bad thing and going into fight or flight, break that response one time, it usually stays broken. Once the autonomic nervous system realizes, oh, the memory of the car crash, the memory of the rape, the memory of the beating, the memory of the death isn't a real threat to my survival right now, when it realizes that one time, and you break the link between the memory and going into fight or flight, that conditioned feedback response, that conditioned loop, tends to stay broken.
You know, and through the power of we're on radio, tapping means you literally take the edge of your finger and just tap those points, right?
That's it. All you do is you use the fingertips of one hand to tap. There are 12 meridian endpoints. So these acupoints are found along meridian lines. There's a chart of those meridians at the back of the EFT manual, and we show you which ones to tap and how often and for which issues. And even if you just tap very simply, you can usually get relief. Like I have a free sampler of EFT on one of my websites called DawsonGift.com. So you can just download the instructions for EFT there, free of charge, and try it yourself. And even just the very simplest application of EFT to any bad memory will usually convince people that it works. So the EFT manual there's a lot of information about the physiology, about how to use it for things like money problems, relationship problems, work problems, spiritual issues, health, and so on. There's full information there in the book, on which you can buy on Amazon or from a bookseller. But if you just go and download the free mini manual at DawsonGift.com and just try it for yourself one time, it usually takes just once for you to realize, gee, there's something here, and you can then take it further and learn the full technique.
You know, we can always think about how things will go for generations and generations. Let's look at domestic abuse. I just call it plain abuse. I don't care if it's domestic or not. There's all kinds of abuse, and that will just encompass everything. If you see it in your family, if you experience it in your life, if you are exposed to it no matter where you live, with family or anyone else, it could be just verbal abuse. It could be physical abuse. Those things always seem to trigger everybody around you at different levels. And people say they don't, but I really think it does somewhere in the back of their brain. Because then when they get older and they have kids, they tend to have these characteristics or these actions that tend to be replayed. Like, let's just use something super simple, like, your father demands that your room has to be cleaned up and spotless when he gets home from work, and one day when he gets home from work, you're still in the process of doing it, that's not a good thing. So then when you get older and you have kids, follow that same process. Make sure your room is clean, blah, blah, blah. And if it isn't, you have that same response. So that is definitely something that would be a great benefit, to be able to start releasing some of these responses, to be able to shift patterns where some generations down the road don't always have these issues that many people have grown up with.
Yeah, abusers tend to have been abused as children themselves, and there are these patterns, intergenerational patterns of behavior, and it takes a lot of character to say the buck stops with me. I will not treat my children the way I was treated as a child myself. And so you'll find yourself acting in all kinds of ways. We think we're acting consciously, and I talk a little bit in the EFT manual, I talk about the brain's default mode network. And this is the system that has us running on autopilot. We think we're conscious. We think we're making conscious choices. Very often, we're just enacting the unconscious behaviors of our parents from our past. And so the goal here is to get conscious, is to have conscious control of your life, especially not be hampered by all of our negative programming we picked up as children. We picked up all kinds of core beliefs about the world. Maybe the world is a safe place. The world isn't a prosperous place. There's no room for me here. I don't deserve it. I don't belong. There are all kinds of messages we get when we're kids that really compromise our well-being as we're adults. And to find those, root those out, shift those, change those, tap on those, if we do that successfully, we then don't carry those forward into the future. And that is a very powerful experience, to live your future free of the shackles of your past. If you don't do that, you just keep on dragging those things with you into the future. And other research shows that it has terrible effects on your body later on. Kaiser Permanente did a massive study, long-term study of people with unresolved childhood trauma, and found that in their late 50s, they had much higher levels of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, suicide attempts, substance abuse, all kinds of physiological problems later on in their lives that correlated highly with unresolved childhood trauma. So if you don't clean this stuff up, if you don't work on this stuff, if you don't undo its influence in your life, it winds up having really unfortunate physiological disease consequences later on. In one recent study of stressed women, they found that stressed women lived between 9 and 14 years shorter lifespans than unstressed women. This is not a trivial difference. This is a massive difference in not only just our happiness, but our health and longevity as well. So that's why I'm so passionate in the EFT manual and my other books. I'm so passionate about giving people the tools to go in there and shift these things so they don't suffer these consequences later on in their lives.
You know, I see this quite often, and I think now that we've been able to, as you said, look under the hood and start taking records and start documenting things, now that we have the internet, Lord, you can document from here to kingdom come. And you can get a lot of responses, too, to be able to have a good database. What I've been seeing is, you know, it's so interesting. You will listen to healthcare right now research, and they'll say, well, we're looking at the people that are in their 80s and 90s and 100s, and we want to know, how do they get there? And the people are saying they lived happy, this, that, and the other, and they look like the type of people that really don't have resentment that they've grown up with their whole life. But then you look at possibly other people's children. Maybe let's say look at people who are in their 80s and early 90s right now. We look at those people's children who would be in their 50s, you know, late 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they are dropping like flies. I mean, they are just getting all kinds of medical conditions, and they're just checking out. They're just saying, you know, I'm done. This is it. It's over. I've fought the fight, and I can't fight it anymore. And I've spoken to many of those people in that generation. And what those words were actually telling you is that they were really fighting to get out of it. They just didn't have the tools to get out of it. And that's where I'm finding that EFT is really great across all ages, because it's a simpler thing that everybody can look at and say, I'm hearing you. So let's say you have a really critical health concern. Everything's got a basis somewhere, somehow, some way in your health. You may not know the name of it. You may not know what it looks like. You may not know all of the sentences. You can't create that picture in your mind, but there's something somewhere. And if you can just work on saying, I don't know what it is, there's something somewhere, that's a start. And you can start releasing some of that, you know, and things will start shifting. Things will start working better. Your body will work better. Things that were really on the fritz or really screaming out in pain or collection into tumors or whatever it is, they start to just move through. They start to resolve. They start to get better. They don't start to be such, you know, that white flag in the sky, don't you think?
The picture you're painting here is essentially the idea of holistic health. When you reduce your stress, that all of your body systems, reproduction, digestion, immunity, inflammation, circulation, all of these things start to improve simultaneously. If you look at the part of the brain that handles the stress response, it's the autonomic nervous system, you'll see that nerves, if you look at this anatomical diagram of it, you'll see that nerves radiate out of that system to our eyes, to our noses, to our bronchial tubes, to our hearts, to our lungs. Virtually every major organ in the body, and certainly every organ system, is being directly controlled by that stress response. We also have a big project, a big nonprofit project called the Veterans Stress Project. We've now treated almost 8,000 veterans and their family members with EFT and similar techniques, and we've also published several clinical trials of EFT for post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, and we find that it's a very common occurrence that a Vietnam veteran walks into one of our offices of one of our coaches or therapists. They get a session of EFT, come back for the second session, and they say things like, I got my first full night's sleep after that first session, my first full night's sleep since Vietnam, or I didn't need my digestive tablets. I didn't need my Viagra. I didn't need my... I went to my doctor, and he reduced my level of medication. I just didn't need all that stuff anymore. So it is so interesting. You start to regulate stress, and because those nerves flow out to every major organ system, suddenly the high blood glucose levels can come down. All of the digestive anomalies can start to shift. Rest and sleep can become natural. So there are many, many, many beneficial changes that happen as a result of stress reduction. It's a holistic method. It targets the whole body, not just one or two molecules, one or two symptoms.
Absolutely. You know, and I live here in Katrina land, and we all stayed, and I can tell you, it was crazy like nobody's business. I remember driving down the highway. We were going, I don't know where we were going, but someone was trying to run us off the road, and we're going, what's going on? So, like, they pulled over, and then we pulled over, and out came a medical personnel, a doctor, got out of his car with his bat, and he was swinging his bat. Like, why were we running him off the road? We weren't running him off the road. He was just probably tired and drifted over. And he was just swinging that bat, screaming, you know, look, I'm in this crazy land. I'm trying to help people, and, you know, I don't need people like you, and blah, blah, blah. And he just went off like nobody's business. And that is a perfect example. Let's talk about stress crisis, you know. People don't, you know, I mean, he could not. But you need to understand everybody, there's not one person in the world that I can think of that would not be affected by anything that's coming around these days. And it's just a matter of how deep of a well and how much fertilizer. So we always say, how much crap are you going to give that stress? Or how much crap are you going to give that issue? Because the more crap you give that issue, guess what it does? It grows, and it finds a really good place in a home. And it's called that deep-seated stuff you just can't move around. And, you know, a lot of people after the storm, it was, you know, it used to be the saying that you would get like two appetizers and a drink. You know, that was always the happy hour special. Well, the appetizer special right after Katrina, I had kept the newspapers, and it was three drinks to one appetizer now. Because people just could not, you know, beer was free at lunch. You know, it was all you could drink, beer at lunch. But a lot of people are on medication still, because once you take that pharmaceutical drug, it's pretty hard to get off. And, you know, now this is the 10th year. So we're 10 years out now, and we're looking at, oh, no, it's nine. We're looking at it, and we're saying, now what's going on? And I can see... my husband does burial insurance, and he says there's not a week that goes by that we don't have two and three people dying. Not a week that goes by. And they're just up and dying. Just that's it. Not for any special reason. They just are. So people are really, you can take a stress thing, and that's a pretty good of a microcosm to say, wow, look at the effect it's had there. I wonder if it's bothering me. And sure as you can say, it might not be in that short of a span for you, but it could be over, you know, a few decades for you, but it still may be started out the same, similar, and going to end up similarly.
Yeah, and that is just the long-term effects of staying stressed and not dealing with your stress. And it's hard to deal with those wounds. We tend to want to dissociate. We tend to want to minimize them. We're in a culture that doesn't give us the tools early on in our lives deal with them. So when you're a child, your puppy gets run over by a car when you're 4 years old, and your mom says, "Don't cry, I'll give you another puppy." And then your grandmother dies when you're 7, and nobody says anything. Everyone's very sad. And then your best friend moves away when you're 8, and you lose your best friend. And your dad says, "Well, don't worry, you'll make more friends. Big boys don't cry." There are all these messages that tell us to minimize our emotions and think positively. So we wind up being adults. And so in my live workshops, I have these people there, and they're 50 or 60 or 70, and they've never felt or processed all the grief and all the loss in their lives. They weren't given tools as a child. They were discouraged as a child, and they have a life history. They have an entire background now of decades of not processing those emotions. But like that high cortisol level, like some of those low levels of our healthy neurotransmitters and hormones, those things are like corrosive acid eating away their bodies. And I have such a passion for teaching this, not just this through written books like the EFT Manual and through live workshops on EFT. I have such a passion for teaching it in any means possible, because I know that once they've learned that and they learn to regulate, then suddenly they'll have a tool. And once they get a taste of it in just a weekend workshop or by reading the manual, they then will realize, oh, this helped for that little part of my life or this little problem. Maybe it could help for more. And I really encourage them to go back and start tapping on all of the problems of their childhood nerdy life. Clean those things up. Otherwise, they'll come back and bite you when you're later on in your life. And so you don't want to have that compromised lifespan and health span. You want to live a vibrant, purposeful life. And the way to do it is to go back and face your issues, even though it is so painful. So I might totally hear you that it's painful. And avoidance and dissociation is not a good long-term plan. Works great if you're 2 years old, 3 years old. You have to live in a crazy family. Dissociation makes perfect sense. When you're 40 or 50 or 60, it's not doing such a good job for you anymore.
And I think the quicker we learn about these things, these techniques, and these issues that we're having, the better off we'll be. Because I will tell you, it's all about the sins of your ancestors, or how much karma did you drag with you, or how did it affect your DNA. There was a study here at Tulane University, and it said they took children between the ages of 3 and 6, and I think it was 9 and 12, and they checked their DNA to see if it had what we call dings. So how many dings did your DNA take if you watched a very violent episode? Like, I mean, hey, I live in New Orleans. It's happening here all the time. You know, people are getting shot all the time here. It's just, it's getting way too common. And people are seeing that. I mean, you could just be going down the street and you'll say, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I just saw. And it does affect you. So this does affect your DNA. But also, if it's affecting your DNA and then you're having children, you're giving affected DNA to children. Do you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, that is the sins of your ancestors. So really, if we're looking at releasing a lot of things now from people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, we're releasing generations. I mean, because that stuff has been stored in some hollow grounds.
You know, one of the interesting things is that if you had said just 5 years ago that the sins of the fathers are passed to the children, that in the biblical sense, biblical term, geneticists and biologists would have said, absolutely not. Every person starts out with a fresh set of DNA, and you then start imprinting it with these epigenetic. Now, again, epi means above the level of the gene. Mm-hmm. We're now discovering that which genes are expressed in our bodies has a huge amount to do with which genes are either silenced or the volume turned up by epigenetic experiences and factors. And so if you said even just 5 years ago that epigenetic influences can be passed from parent to child, you would have been just laughed out of the room. But there's a whole flood of research now showing that, for example, depressed women actually have more depressed daughters, and there are epigenetic tags that are placed on the genome sometime during conception to birth or early childhood. So the daughter, although she starts with a genetic slate, actually has these similar epigenetic markers placed on her genome as her mother had, which are associated with depression. It's remarkable. In some studies of mice now, they've taken this out 7 generations, and so mice taught to fear a certain smell artificially, they find that just through the sperm of the male mouse, that the fear of that scent can be passed from one generation to another and from the next to the next. So no genetic changes, but epigenetically we're passing this information to subsequent generations. So yeah, it makes an enormous difference. And the good news is we're not at the mercy of our genes. We can do something about this. We can shift this. We can change. In my main science book, it's called The Genie in Your Genes. It was one of the very first books published on genetics and the epigenetic effects of things like belief, intention, motivation, spirituality, emotion, and good experiences. And it turns out now that we can have a huge effect on which genes are turned on, which genes are turned off by the contents of our heads. EFT is the sort of practical method I teach, but it's just so interesting now to see all this new research showing that these epigenetic effects are passed from one generation to another. And the good news, too, then, is clean it up in yourself, clear your own stress, clear your own family patterns, and then you won't be passing those along to your offspring.
Absolutely. You know, let's talk about a session. So now we can learn definitely how to get started through your manual. But is a session, you said it's a session's about an hour. So are we saying to the listeners, I have to start with a session and I have to go find somebody and I have to pay money that I might not have? Or can I start with a book, or can I find a practitioner if I really am kind of in a real crisis end? And I think it's really all above, right?
Yes, if you're in a real crisis or if you have a long-term problem, it's worth finding a practitioner. And there are hundreds of practitioners on our site. They are certified in clinical EFT, which is the evidence-based form of EFT. So yeah, you can get a practitioner for long-standing issues, but just try it. Try it on a few simple things first. And then if you're getting stuck, then go see somebody and get some help. But the simplest thing is just to download the free manual at DawsonGift.com. It's my name, DawsonGift, DawsonGift.com. Download the free mini manual there. Try EFT. There's a lot of information about EFT in the book, in the mini manual. And then at the end, there's a one-page diagram with all the tapping points. And you'll know within 10 minutes whether it's helping or not. So try it yourself. But then to go deeper, get the full EFT manual, which again is available on Amazon and online booksellers, and also independent retailers have the EFT manual. There are lots of copies in circulation. It's only been out for a few months, but it's selling extremely well. People are just loving this book and loving the complete instructions there. And then you can deepen your experience by taking a live workshop where you actually learn clinical EFT yourself. Then you can start to apply it with other people, apply it with children, apply it for long-standing issues. We have a way in our live workshops of having you sort through your various life areas and identifying which ones you do well in, which ones you do badly in. So we have you actually do some pretty deep self-interrogation about your love relationships, your work life, your financial life, your spiritual life, and your health and body image. And then armed with that information about which areas you're strong in, which areas you have a lot of negative core beliefs, negative programming in, you then set out to strengthen your strong areas and repair some of the deficits in your weak areas with EFT. And it's very, very powerful when used that way. You might never become fully functional. Say, for example, you have some sort of physical limitation. Maybe there are some real physical limitations. But even physical pain, things like cravings, we have a weight loss program. We find people's cravings. The research shows that cravings for things like chocolates, sweets, cake, alcohol, pastries, pasta. In our research, again, this is published in peer-reviewed medical journals, we find that the average drop in cravings is 83%. And that's just in a short little bit of tapping. What else could do that for you? I worked with a woman on a live coaching, weight loss coaching call last night for a whole big group of people, and she had a craving for ginger snap cookies. And when we began the session, her craving was 9 out of 10. She just could not wait to grab a ginger snap cookie or maybe the whole package and eat them. When we finished, a short while later, we tapped the EFT on her emotional stuff. She was down to a 1 out of 10. for Ginger Snap Cookies. At our last live workshop, which I taught just a couple weeks ago, we brought in chocolates, and we tested everyone. We had them hold chocolates, look at them, unwrap them, smell them, feel their cravings. We then had them tap, and their cravings went right down, right away. Like 9 out of 10 people, their cravings dropped dramatically. At the end of the workshop, you won't believe this, we threw away a huge amount of chocolate. People didn't want it anymore. They just weren't craving it anymore. So EFT is so useful for things like cravings because we're not craving the chocolate. We're not craving the ginger snaps. We're craving emotional connection. We're craving emotional connection with ourselves, with our loved ones, with our world, with the higher power. There are all kinds of things that we're craving, which we don't. Those are needs we don't know how to meet. So we displace that into something we can do, like buy a bag of candy or get a roll of ginger snaps and eat them. That's within our control. But, of course, that makes you fat. That makes you feel disempowered. That hurts your self-image. There are huge deficits to projecting, to not solving the problem, projecting it onto food and doing it that way. So it's so important, whether it's through a live workshop, whether it's with a practitioner, whether it's buying one of the books, it is so important to take control of these emotions and start to direct them in a positive way. When you then do that, when you take the emotional wounds you've suffered and begin to erase all the emotional charge that they contain, then suddenly enormous new horizons of personal growth and possibility and your own potential open up for you. So that's why I'm just incredibly passionate about teaching this stuff, whether it's through live workshops or through online courses or through the book. I so want people to use this because I've seen lots of lives transformed, like the lady last night with the ginger snaps, like people in the live workshop. They are no longer then going to be driven by those cravings. They can make healthy choices, healthy lifestyle choices, healthy food choices, and suddenly all kinds of other parts of their lives start to improve once they get that emotional freedom in place.
Is there any type medical condition, or if I'm on prescriptions, that you would not recommend of a client to work with this?
Yeah, the way to do this is to do it in conjunction with the rest of your healthcare plan. So if you are on prescription medications, we recommend that, obviously, you want to talk to your doctor about those. If you're thinking of changing a medication use, make sure you get good medical advice. Even if you feel better, like if you feel better after EFT, then work with your healthcare provider, and they may say, gee, you know, we're looking at your, like, for example, on our weight loss call last night, there was one man who came on the line and told us that he has been pre-diabetic and he has been having his diabetes markers measured for the last many years. But after he began doing EFT, he lost, I think, he told us, I'm trying to think what it was about 50 pounds. And his diabetes markers dramatically improved. So he saw his doctor and his doctor said, whatever you're doing, it's really working. Keep on doing this. So you always do it with your medical provider. As far as what medications are contraindicated, we haven't yet found that there's EFT doesn't like it's not intrusive in any way. It's just tapping on acupressure points. So it isn't like going to interfere with any medication use. But it may sometimes mean that you need a medication change. So we recommend that you share it with your healthcare provider, and that you always work with your healthcare provider to get the optimal mix of alternative medicine, EFT, and conventional medicine.
Yeah, because it is definitely important to do that, because if you are working on some therapies and you're trying to consciously lower your blood sugar and you're also taking a drug to lower your blood sugar, you could end up in hypoglycemia. Same thing with blood pressure. You want to lower it and you end up becoming too low. Then you may be feeling not very well. So it's definitely important, because those medications do need to be altered with dosages and times, or you may be taking them or whatever. But to keep a closer watch on that when you are doing this process, because it's really important that you don't just say, well, I see them every year and I really want to do this now. You might want to see your practitioner a little bit earlier or have some more labs done or testing or whatever needs to be done to evaluate your status along the way.
Yeah, and I found that doctors are actually very open to hearing about EFT. I've lectured at literally scores of medical and psychological conventions, and I found that doctors really understand that their patients' problems have strong emotional bases. Very few doctors, when I say that your patient's pain or their diabetes or their high blood pressure, whatever it might be, has an emotional component, doctors just nod their heads. They know very well that's the case. They don't know how to treat that, but they are very aware of the link between emotions and these conditions. And so they're very, very, very open to hearing this and respecting your decision to address the emotional parts of your problem. What I recommend doing, for example, we did one study of healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, psychotherapists, chiropractors, and so on. And it was a big study of 216 participants, and we found that the average drop in pain was 68%. But I asked myself, you know, two-thirds drop in pain, really good from doing EFT, so things like back pain and medication pain and sprains and PMS, various other kinds of pain. So, you know, two-thirds drop in pain, that's great. But why wasn't it as big a drop as cravings? And my hypothesis is that it's probably because the remaining one-third is actual real pain. But the two-thirds that went away after tapping was things like fear this pain might get worse, fear I might always have pain, anger at my body for being in pain, anger at the person who caused me pain, anger at my condition, anger at my inability to heal. There are all kinds of emotional overlays you find. So we call it pain, and when you tap away that two-thirds that research shows is the average reduction in pain after EFT, when you drop the pain, then what remains is actual physiological pain for which you need proper medical treatment. But doctors, when I tell doctors, for example, at medical conferences, don't medicate the emotional part of pain, and don't emotionalize the medical part of pain, I just see the whole room, heads nodding in the whole room. People totally understand this in the medical world. Part of all of our conditions is emotional. Even cancer, there are high levels of depression among cancer patients. There are very high levels of cortisol often in cancer patients, and there are low levels of cortisol's cousin, DHEA, which is your main cell repair hormone. So it's really changing our physiology, and that is changing along with our psychology. And we have these simple techniques like EFT, which can shift them both simultaneously.
You know, and looking ahead, I see so many elders right now. I've seen it happen in my own family members, and I've also heard of it just recently from other clients, is that elders, if they are in a hospital or in rehab or maybe just getting well from something, the physician or the nurse will go in and she will say, oh, she's not responding, she isn't smiling today. So she'll write that down in the chart, and the doctor will say, I think that person needs an antidepressant. You know, and it's like, whoa, you know, and they are so quick to give them because they just have this paradigm in which they believe they should all respond within this small window. In other words, they have this little category, this little box that you have to fit in. And if you don't fit in that, you're going to get a drug. You're going to get a drug no matter what because you fit outside of that box. And it's really important, you know, to have very strong advocates, you know, for that patient to say, no, she might seem depressed because she wants to be outside. She's looking at the snow outside. She loves snow. Or she's depressed because she's missing her son's graduation. Or she's depressed because she really doesn't like the smell in here. Or she's depressed because she can't open the window, whatever that might be, you know. And look at those situations and say, oh, I understand, instead of just saying, oh, she's depressed, we have to give her a drug, and people leave hospitals and rehabs and they end up in nursing homes with this litany of medications that is just, you just want to go, my gosh, how did you get here, you know?
And you look at the side effects of some of those, and they're really extreme. I recommend a book for anybody thinking about taking an antidepressant or an anxiolytic, an anti-anxiety drug. There's a book called Anatomy of an Epidemic. It's by a very respected medical journalist, and it looks at all the emerging psychiatric evidence for the long-term effects of antidepressants and anxiolytics. And it's a very disturbing book. The research is showing that the use of those medications is sometimes justified, but in the vast majority of cases, it is they're being prescribed very very freely and readily, often people with very temporary repeating symptoms. And in countries where they're prescribed a lot, like Western countries in the U.S., very very high rates of depression. In countries where, in poor countries like India and Brazil, where they get psychotherapy, where patients get psychotherapy and no drugs, very short episodes of depression. So use of antidepressants is associated with chronic long-term depression.
Yeah, and I mean, and when you get there, I mean, there's nowhere else to go. Finally, you just say, that's when you have the life of you to give up. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of people early and earlier in stages saying, you know, I'm just giving up. I'm just done. Because the quick fix of a pharmaceutical is not really the answer. And I think when we're talking today about EFT, emotional freedom techniques, it's so much better to be able to look at something easier and say, is this a really healing? Is it a miracle? Is it something that's changing me? It's just something to try, because you know what? Don't always reach for the drugs first, because then, you know, I tell clients all the time, the minute you put your hand on that prescription that he's handing you, you have to ask him, is this for life or for today? And his answer almost incessantly will be, it's for life once you take it. Unless it's an antibiotic or a pain medication. But once you get that, you're locked in.
It's also worth asking about the side effects and about patient satisfaction. I remember a friend of mine was going to have back surgery, and he said, you know, I'm going to have this back surgery, and my surgeon tells me that they have an 85% success rate with this back surgery. And he was about to have back surgery. And I said, okay, before you have the surgery, take a look at another number. Go look at the patient satisfaction score after they've had surgery. So in other words, those patients have had surgery. What are they telling you about their experience of this a year, 5 years, 10 years on? And he was absolutely shaken when he read that, because he found that of the patients who had the surgery, they had about an 80% rate of not getting relief from their back pain after the surgery and wishing they'd never had the surgery. So the surgeon stitches the person up and says the operation was successful. The patient later on is saying, I'm now in worse pain. I have all these limitations. I wish I had never had the surgery. So you absolutely must look at that kind of metric. If you are just swallowing, now I just want to say here, I'm in no way speaking out against modern medicine. I really like and respect modern medicine. I have a lot of doctor friends, and I think we have just marvelous abilities in modern medicine today. But any medical or any health practitioner who treats their modality as being the only one you need or the best is really giving you only a partial solution, even if it's an EFT practitioner, or a naturopath like yourself, or an acupuncturist. If they say we have the answer for everything, run in the opposite direction. In another book I wrote with Dr. Norm Sheely, the founder of the American Holistic Medical Association, it's called Soul Medicine, and we have a chapter in there called How to Find Your Ideal Practitioner. Let me tell you how to both find a good doctor, how to look for, but also how to find a good energy healer, a good acupuncturist, a good energy psychology practitioner. And what we say is, use the best of all worlds. And if you have any practice, it's like it. You want to, that's a big red flag, because there's value everywhere. There's value in Oriental medicine, there's value in Ayurvedic medicine, there's value in energy medicine, there's value in Western medicine, and the only real problem is when you hand over your power and quit being a thinking being and just say, oh, I'll just do whatever you say. That's not a prescription for health or successful medical treatment or successful outcome, regardless of what modality you're using.
Absolutely. You know, Dawson, we have flown through this hour. Can you imagine? I think it was a great topic today, and I think we really had a great discussion for the listeners.
It's been fun, and thanks for your provocative questions and comments. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure having you with us, and maybe we'll have you back on again with another one of your books. If you're always welcome.
I'd be happy to. Thanks so much again.
Fabulous. Thank you. If you'd like more information about Dawson Church, his book is the website is www.eftuniverse.com. The book we were discussing today is EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, and it is a definite manual. You can go on to the website and you can download for free the mini manual to get started and find out a little bit more about what we're talking about. And it's really interesting because any little change that you can make to yourself, to your well-being, and to your health is really an investment in yourself. And, you know, and I always say to people, just like Dawson had just said, don't just say, I'm just going to do this, this is my health, and I'm in this little line, and I've never really experienced anything else. Check everything else out. I mean, you know, I've been a type person. I've gone to angel readers and to psychics and shamans, regular conventional treatments, naturopaths, holistic acupuncture, herbalists, homeopathy, everything. You know, give it a try, because really our bodies are multidimensional. It is not just about our health and we're going to get a drug and we're going to get a treatment and it's going to fix us and it's going to, quote, heal us, because, you know, everybody's a miracle man. You know, there's a lot of parts to us, and you wonder why things reoccur. You wonder why diseases reoccur. And you say, you know what, maybe I just didn't address those other things that were subtly in the background that may have been contributing to in the first place. Ah, you really think so? So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you all with us today. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and please do join us on today's show page, Sedona Talk Radio or Blog Talk Radio. And thank you.